And just like a car, I turn the wheel, turn the ignition switch.
Bruce Gordon is talking with Michael Brune, executive director of the Sierra Club. Gordon runs EcoFlight, a company that offers air tours of controversial places. This trip's got a little extra instruction included because, like Gordon, Brune is a pilot too.
Wait, what?
We were flying over Canyonlands the other day, and I think Bruce and I freaked everybody out by having me fly. I was told later that people prefer me at the helm of the Sierra Club rather than the helm of the plane.
The Sierra Club's top guy is checking out the Rhone from up high because the group wants him to see what oil and gas drilling and fracking looks like, at least what you can see from the air. The jokes stop as the Garfield County Airport falls away and the small craft banks right over the plateau. Brune calls the view sobering.
You both get an appreciation for really how beautiful it is here, but also what we're doing to it. You know, relatively short-term profit is trumping long-term preservation.
Most drilling in Garfield County is on private land, but there's about 200 wells on BLM land at the bottom of the Rhone. If not for a lawsuit, there would be many more drilling rigs there and up on top of the plateau. The suit forced government officials to go back and review the potential for environmental side effects and to consider limiting the drilling more. Plaintiffs in the case are largely environmental groups, and the suit effectively hit a big pause button, halting nearly all oil and gas development on public land on or near the plateau, at least for now. Pete Kolpenschlag was a key player in organizing against drilling there. A key element in the strategy was reaching out to people who don't identify themselves as environmentalists.
Local governments in Western Colorado, sportsmen groups, businesses, and, you know, kind of doing really specific organizing around places with people that are really connected to it.
Searching for common interests is now a tactic used by the Thompson Divide Coalition in its campaign against oil and gas exploration near the Roaring Fork Valley. Kolbenschlag lives in Paonia, where earlier this year, the BLM postponed the sale of some oil and gas leases. That result, he says, was based on what happened with the Rhone Plateau.
Not only working a lot with, you know, local community really closely and with the agricultural community here and the winemakers and irrigators and people like that that have a very vested interest. We've set out to kind of develop a community vision and a community alternative, both as a tool for people to get behind and organize around, but also to provide very specific, substantive information to BLM that they are then required to consider.
In other words, calling out the agency for not doing its job of managing drilling leases, exactly what tripped up BLM officials in the Rhone lawsuit.
Back in 2005, Rush George.
The Colorado Mule Deer Association is one of the groups that was drawn into the Rhone Plateau debate. Denny Behrens is a longtime wildlife advocate and met with oil and gas companies to talk about how wildlife would be protected if more drilling went ahead on the Rhone. One of those companies was Denver-based Bill Barrett Corporation. It had a wildlife plan.
They were talking $50 million. To sit down and talk about the possibility, once and for all, to have money available to conservation organizations to do habitat restoration for mule deer, grouse, was huge.
The plan stalled along with the big pause for drilling. Denny Behrens thinks everyone missed out. He says to avoid a repeat, drilling companies and opponents need to sit down together
and talk with people, listen to what they have to say, and then make a decision.
The BLM is beefing up its environmental review for drilling on the Rhone Plateau. Details won't be known for at least another year. In the meantime, interests on all sides of the drilling issue are jockeying for attention and a listening ear. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Elise Thatcher.